And our reading is coming from Matthew chapter 16, starting at verse number 13. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered him, 'Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.' Amen."
Amen.
I want you to turn to your neighbor. Go on and grab him by the hand and look your neighbor square in the eye. They ain't going to bite you. Grab him by the hand, look him square in the eye. Look him square in the eye. If you're looking at me, you ain't looking at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor square in the eye and say, "Neighbor,
neighbor,
I know why.
I know why.
I'm here.
I'm here.
Neighbor,
neighbor,
I know why.
I know why.
I'm here.
I'm here."
Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. All right. Let me hear. Yeah.
We have entitled our message this morning, "I Know Why I'm Here."
Yes, sir.
Now, as we look at this and as we understand this, one of the things I want us to realize and recognize about church: there are a lot of folk who talk about church.
All right.
And I'm not talking about the folk on the inside. I'm talking about the folk also on the outside. Folk on the outside have an opinion about church. They have an opinion about the pastor, the leaders, the members. And then some folk just speak bad about the church. And if you ask them about it, they will tell you that this is something that they know. No, this is something that they know about. You know, it's interesting how some folk will tell you they know you, but the reality is they only know a little about you. Sister Noah, what I know, folk can go to Wikipedia and see a whole bunch of stuff about you, when you're born, where you've been, and things you've done. But you know what? And once folk read all that, they would automatically say, "Oh, I know you." But that's not true. You just know somebody gonna work with you. You see, in order to know somebody, you have to have a personal relationship in order to know them. But we got a lot of folk who think they know folk, but you don't know folk. You just know somebody gonna work with you.
That's right.
And what we're going to look at today is a particular scripture here in Matthew chapter 16, where there have been folk who have opinions, just like some folk have opinions about the church. And as you hear the things they're saying about the church, they're going by what they think they know about the church. And the question is, how do you embrace it? Do you believe it? Or do you let them know that just ain't how it is? Can we go and look at the story now and take a good look at it? Because what we have is that Jesus has taken his disciples out of the Jewish territory. He has them in a Gentile territory. And while they're there in Caesarea Philippi, he needed to put them in isolation because he needed some me time with them and them only. Right. He did not want any distractions. He wanted to have an opportunity just to talk to them and nobody else.
Amen.
You see, because Jesus realized his time here was running short. He knew his ministry that his Father sent him to do was drawing to an end. But as it was drawing to an end, he really wanted to know, what do my disciples know about me? He already knew, but he wanted to see what they were going to say. Isn't that the one thing that frustrates us about people in us? When folk think they know us, talk bad about us, And none of that stuff is true.
Yeah.
And then we get shook up sometimes and says, what do they really know about me? And I know Sister Norwood, 53 years of gospel ministry have showed you a whole lot, sent you all over the place, and no folk have had a whole lot to say about everything, from the clothes you wear to how you sing, even the classes that you might have on. But it's amazing how sometimes folk just say stuff about us, but they don't really know us. So what Jesus is saying to those who are closest to him, I need to know what y'all think. But check out how he does it. Because let's look here right now in verse 13. Jesus poses this question to his disciples. He asks them, check it out. What do people say? Who do people say that the Son of Man is? In so many ways, the answer is already in the question.
Yeah.
Call them the what? Son of Man.
That's right.
But he's asking his disciples first, who do people say the Son of Man is? Some of them say John the Baptist, reincarnated. Others say Elisha. Elijah's supposed to come before the Messiah. Right. Others say Jesus is like the weeping prophet Jeremiah.
All right.
Always telling us what we're doing wrong. Others say, well, he just wanted another prophet. You see, these are people who saw Jesus perform miracles, heal the sick, give sight to the blind, feed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. They saw him do all this stuff. And once they saw him do all this stuff, they thought they knew him. No, they didn't knew him. They just knew of somebody working with him.
That's right.
They didn't know him. They just knew about him. But you know what's interesting? Is that when folk who think they know us but just know about us.
Yeah.
Those tend to be the folk that talk the loudest. Somebody gonna work with me.
All right.
Now, if the disciples heard this, that means that folk was coming up to his disciples telling them who they thought Jesus was. Now what Jesus wanted to find out from them, are you embracing what they're telling you about me? Or do you know who I am?
Yeah.
Because if you're embracing what they are telling you, I want you to understand that you have missed the mark.
Yeah.
That means that what you think you know about me, you really don't know about me, because it's not based on you having a relationship with me. It's based on what other folk have said about me. And if you go on what other folks say about me, but don't get a chance to know me, you have missed the
mark.
Oh, somebody gonna come and work with me. How many folk do we got in church right now who are missing the mark? How many folk are just listening to what everybody is saying rather than learning it for them?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I want you to understand the Lord ain't big on you learning about him from everybody. He wants you to come up and get close and get personal so that you can know him for.
That's right.
Because when hell and high water happens in your life, you're going to go based on what you know about, because that's all you got, because you don't know him. You see, so it's important. So Jesus wanted to find out in their head, how are y'all dealing with what folk are saying about me? And then Jesus brings it a little closer. Because this is where he wanted to go, but he wanted to see how others have spoken to his disciples about him. And then in verse number 15, he says to them, but who do you say that I am?
Yeah.
Reverend Rose, as Jesus poses this question to them, I can see the disciples start looking at one another and wondering, well, what are we supposed to say? what is he looking for us to say? If you go back to the original question, it says, who do the people say that the Son of Man is?
Yeah.
He already said who he is. But who do the people say who he is? But based on that should have been a real quick answer. But then here come Peter, y'all. And Peter says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God.
Yeah.
You know, and once he said this, I can see Jesus, if I can just use my spiritual imagination, look at him and just smile. and said, brother, you know, just gave him that smile. And once he gave him that smile, Deacon Booth, I can see Peter now kind of feeling good about himself. Because I done gave the right answer. I got Jesus to smile at me.
Go ahead, man.
I don't know about you. I would love to see Jesus smile.
Say so, brother. Say so.
That's right.
Yeah. But after he said that, Jesus says this to him. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Now, once he heard that, he got even more excited.
Right.
Because Jesus just told him that he's what, y'all?
He blessed.
You see, but Jesus had to put everything in perspective. Mm-hmm. Because if Jesus doesn't put things in perspective, for us, we can become like a hot air balloon.
Right. Yeah.
Get so filled up in our own intellect and our own mind, and all of a sudden we start floating up.
Right.
Thinking we're all that, a bag of chips, two sodas, and a shake on the side. We think that we've arrived and that we have the intellect and the ability to know all about Jesus. But Jesus had to let him understand. Let me explain just so that you don't mess around and get it what, y'all?
Twisted.
He says, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. But my Father in heaven. Do y'all see that in Scripture?
Oh, yeah.
Do you realize that the only reason why Peter got the right answer is because the Father gave it to him? And when he gave him the right answer, we're seeing that Peter realized that he is what? Blessed. So what is that telling us? We're all here because we got an invitation from the Father to embrace the Son and to come forward and have a relationship with Him. And once we do that, we are what, y'all? Blessed.
Yes.
How many folk in God's house know that you are blessed?
Yes.
How many folk in God's house know that if it had not been for the Father walking through the Son, we wouldn't be here right now? So why do we come here and think we're all that? It is not we all that. We serve a God who is.
Thank you.
Oh, somebody gonna work with me. We gotta understand we are where we are. Because the Lord has revealed.
Oh yeah.
The Father revealed the Son to us. And now that He's been revealed to us, and we know who He is, we're blessed.
Yes, sir. Yes.
My brothers and sisters, and when we know that we're blessed. You know, I remember when Sister Norwood was standing up here and singing. And you know what she said? I ain't here to entertain y'all. We're here to worship.
That's right.
And hearing her saying and singing about to the glory of God. When we know how blessed we are.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
When we know from whence we've come. When we realize that God wasn't even a second thought in our mind.
All right.
When we realize we was out there shucking and jiving and slipping and dipping.
Oh, yeah.
And now that the Lord has brought us to where we are right now.
Yeah.
Some folk think they deserve to be here.
Yeah.
Some folk think that I'm supposed to be here. No, you're here because of God's grace and mercy.
Yeah.
There was some stuff that took out some folk you knew. But the Lord kept you here because God was showing you what? Grace. And mercy. And since He brought you to where you are, you realize that you are what? Blessed. And since you are blessed, how you gonna sit there and act like it ain't no big deal?
Oh yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. You know, when that rain was coming down last night, I don't think nobody in here got soaking wet. You slept in a bed in a warm room. Under some covers, and your bed wasn't floating down the stream because you had a roof over your head. And since the Lord has blessed you to be able to be outside the rain, but you're gonna sit up in here like God ain't done nothing for you, like God ain't brought you through nothing, but you know you are where you are because you think you are that. I'm here to tell you, no, you ain't. We serve a God who has blessed us, who has brought us a mighty long way. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who understand I am where I am because God has. When I think about what He's done for me, He could have left me kicked to the curb, but He came and snatched me up, cleaned me up, and brought me on the inside. And then He told me that I am. even put my hands together. Clap my hands and shout hallelujah.
God kept me here.
Brother Phil, he's done some miraculous things for us. He's brought us places we thought we never would be. But look at where we are right now. You see, and I want you to understand that we all are blessed. You know, to be blessed doesn't mean you got the biggest house on the street. Drive the prettiest car that's out there. What's blessed means that you in your right mind, the Lord is supplying your needs. He's taking you from one day to the next, and he is making a way out of no way. When you know how good God has been for you and to you, but you're going to act like it ain't all that, I'm here to tell you, I am blessed. We got to know who we are and whose we are. So, I done got wound up. Here we go. But then what we see here, you know, I ain't preached last week, but here, what we see here is this, y'all. You know what we see for real? Is that Jesus had to let Peter know. It ain't all about you, bro. It's about my Father in heaven.
That's right.
You are just going to be an instrument. You see, but before I can allow you to be used, you got to know where you started. And you got to know who is getting you started. Do you understand what I'm saying to you today, my brothers and sisters? You might have been saved a mighty long time, but still, Mother Austin, you know that you are what? Blessed! She is 97 years young, and she is what? Blessed!
Say so. Yeah.
So it don't matter how long you've been a Christian. New mercies we experience each and every day. So every day is a new day. And this is the day that the Lord has
made.
So we're going to rejoice and what? Be glad.
Oh yeah.
I'm not making light of your life situation, because we all have stuff in life we're dealing with. Amen. Some folk are dealing with more than others, but we all got our share of stuff we're dealing with.
Yeah, that's right.
But no matter what, we have to understand something. Yeah. The Lord brought us in.
That's right.
The Lord has blessed us. And he has revealed his Son to us. And since he did all that, that's why we're here.
Thank you, Lord.
And let's go and see, because we're still trying to understand, Pastor. I know why I'm here. I'm not fully understanding that yet. But I'm glad you're asking. I'm glad you're still here, because before God can send us, there are some things we first got to know. Because if you don't know God revealed himself to you, if you don't know that you're blessed, how in the world are you going to grow? Because God wants you to know so that you can what? Grow. And then once you grow, then you can what? Go. Because look at this. We got to see this is right here in the Word of God. Because he says in the very next verse, 18, I tell you, you are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. This is one of the scriptures, y'all, that we get it twisted. Now, I know I got to elaborate, and I know I got to explain. The one thing that some have made or have the misconception of believing is that Peter is the rock. Because he says Petros, which means stone. But Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the foundation. So what Jesus is letting Peter know, that I am the foundation. And since I am the foundation, you are one of the rocks who I'm going to utilize to continue to build my church. The my is Jesus. Now what we have to understand when we look at this scripture, we have to recognize that Jesus is using Peter to build. But before Peter can be somebody to build up somebody else, He must first know the Lord for who? And know for a fact. Now, I'm going to ask this question to you. I want you to tell me. Tell me if I got it wrong. Remember why you been coming to church and you weren't doing nothing? Just coming to church. Sunday.
Well.
Then I'll see you next Sunday. But once you started getting involved in the ministries of the church, started seeming like all hell was breaking loose.
Yeah.
This was happening. That was happening. They now talking about you. Other folks suck their teeth and roll their eyes at you. And you trying to understand, what did I do wrong? I'm here just lifting up Jesus. I'm here just to praise his holy name. I'm here because I know why I'm here. I'm here because I'm blessed. I'm here to be used by him. I'm here to proclaim his name. I'm here to encourage others. I'm here to show his love. I'm here to let others know you don't have to go that way. Come this way. But once you started doing that, it just seemed like you got into a storm that ain't gonna ever end. And that's the gates of hell.
Yeah.
Or Hades that's trying to prevail against you. You know, because yesterday, let me give you a perfect example. Yesterday, my wife and I went down to Westmoreland County to check on our mother and do some stuff down there. And as we were riding back around 7:30, 8 o'clock, down there in King William and King and Queen County, all of a sudden, a storm came, y'all. And when that rain hit, I had them wipers on super fast. The wipers looking at me, I ain't going no faster now. And it seemed no matter how fast the wipers were going, Deacon Aldridge, my vision wasn't clear. But you know what? When I looked around, other folk had pulled off on the side of the road. Other folk had pulled in gas stations. But you know what? I kept going. Now, I wasn't going 60 miles an hour. I eased it all the way down to about 25, 35 and put my hazard lights on just so that I could see to go straight. You see, sometimes when you're in a storm, the Lord ain't telling you to stop. He's just saying, trust me.
Amen.
And what he wants you to do is, you might be going through the storm, but you just slow down, but you keep moving forward. Because all the enemy sometimes wants you to do is stop. Because if he gets you to stop, then he gets you to start thinking about what you're doing and why you're doing it. And if you stop, then all of a sudden you'll talk yourself out of moving forward. You'll tell yourself you can't do it. I shouldn't have been here anyway. Look at how my life was. Look at where I came from. Look at what I used to do. Look at how I was. And how in the world can the Lord use somebody like me to make a difference? Doesn't he know where I came from? But that's why you can't stop. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you better keep going. You see, what I want you to understand, sometimes when you're in the midst of a storm, the Lord ain't telling you to stop. You just slow down. But you just keep on moving forward, because all the enemy is trying to do is prevail against you, trying to get you to stop in the storm, trying to get you to doubt yourself, trying to get you to say God can't do it. But I'm here to tell you today, if the Lord brought you this far, he's going to take you all the way. Do I got any witnesses in this house? Have anybody been through some storms? But you got to keep on pressing your way through. Even when it seems like you couldn't see real good, you got to keep on pressing your way through. I got anybody in here who's pressing their way through? No matter how it looks, I got to press my way through. I know God is with me. I know he's going to see me through. Do I got anybody who knows that our God can do it? Somebody ought to put their head back and say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, I got to move on, but let me give you this last piece about this. When we hear it says that the gates of hell won't prevail against the church, too many of us get it twisted. We think that he's just talking about this Ephesus, this building.
Come on now, break it down.
No, this is just a building.
That's right.
But what has made it what it is? Is the people of God coming here and sanctifying this place and saying that this is a place of worship. God now meets us in this place. But I want you to understand, it's a building that has been sanctified. But I tell you, where I come from in Jersey, I've seen some big churches. And I showed one to my wife the last time we was up there. Big old church in Newark between Central Avenue and Market Street. Right across the street from University of Medicine and Dentistry in Newark, New Jersey. Used to be a big church. But guess what, Deacon Boo? It's a restaurant with a bar on the second floor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a building. What makes it what it is what's in the building. Yeah. What makes it a bar and a restaurant is folk go there to eat and they go there to drink. What makes this a house of worship is that this is a place we choose to worship. Yeah. And as long as we think that all the enemy is trying to do is get this building, we get it twisted. Uh-huh. Guess who make this building who it is? Us. So it's about us realizing that the enemy is coming after you, coming after me. And if he's successful in breaking enough of us down, our ministry will not be effective and we will not be able to move forward. We will not be able to experience the anointing of God in the manner God wants to use it because the enemy is kicking our butt. So it's about us individually.
Yeah.
Not letting the enemy prevail.
That's right.
So collectively, when we come together, we are effective.
That's right.
For the Lord.
Yes.
Are you seeing this?
Yes,
now,
sir.
Now let me take you to this last verse. Because it says in verse number 19. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in what? Heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosened in heaven. Do you see that?
Yeah.
You see, one of the things we got to understand is this. It all started when Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus told him, you are blessed. You're blessed because my Father revealed this. And since my Father revealed this to you, you are who you are. And now you're going to be somebody I'm going to use to get the kingdom of God started. And once you get it started, I want you to understand, hell gonna try to come at you. It's gonna seem like you're catching hell, but you ain't playing catch with it. You're throwing it away. And now that you understand that, he said something else to him. He said, bruh, I'm giving you the what? You see, I want you to understand that you know, when you go home today, when you get to your house, what do you need to get in? So if you ain't got no keys, you what? Can't get in. Amen. So the same thing is true. It's what he is telling Peter, that Peter, I have given you the authority. I'm giving you the keys because there are some folk right now who are locked out and can't get in. But by you unlocking the door, you're unlocking the doors of their hearts so they can come in because they no longer need to be lost, but they now can be found. So you have to understand, he's talking about binding and loosing.
Yeah.
Binding and loosening. Now, I want you to understand something. It's not about the symptoms. You see, too many times we spend time on dealing with the symptoms. You see, if you got a cold and all I ever do is give you a tissue, I'm just helping you with one of the what? Symptoms. But in order for me to deal with what is the cause of the cold, I got to put together, you know, that home remedy with the garlic and the onions and the vinegar. No, I'm only kidding. That ain't real. I just threw that out there just to see. But I want you to know, everybody got their own little remedies. You understand what I'm saying? But what you understand is that I don't want to deal with the symptoms. I need to deal with the what? Cause. And the cause of everything being bound here on this earth and causing us to be in chains is called sin.
Yes, sir.
You see, and what Jesus is telling Peter, I'm using you to bind up sin. You're going to let folk know sin no longer has them bound. Not that you can loosen them. It's because I'm going to loosen you. You're also going to loosen them. Because once I get up, I'm going to raise up from the grave with the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And when I got those keys, I'm going to do this. I'm going to give them to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, I want you to understand. He was telling Peter, you got the keys. Because you're going to help folk bind up the sin in their lives. And once sin is bound up, the one thing you got to understand is whom the Son sets what?
Free.
Is what? Free. Free indeed. Don't you know that my brothers and my sisters, we are
free.
I thought y'all was going to get it. Now I got to preach about it for 5 minutes. I want you to understand something. God has given something that we couldn't work for. He gave us our salvation, and it was for. Y'all still didn't get it. See, I was going to end right there. You got to understand something, that you and I have been redeemed. Jesus went to the cross for us, and he did it for.
Yeah.
Free.
Which means that all of us have been what?
Free.
And since we now have been free, we are no longer bound by sin. Yes. But tell me, why is it that so many folk come to church and find it hard to just even clap their hands? Why is it that some folk come to church and find it hard just to say, thank you, Lord? But you say that the Lord is the head of my life. He is my all in all. He is the lily of the valley. He is the bright and morning star. He is my all in all. He brought me to it. He's going to take me through it. He is the one that has done things in my life that nobody else can do. But you come to church and you're so bound up. How can you be so bound up by speaking certain words like that? I want you to understand something. Your actions speak a whole lot louder than your words. Your words might say one thing, but your actions is telling the truth. I'm here to tell you today, my brothers and my sisters, there are some of us who need to really be free, because the Son has set you what?
Free.
You got to live like you are what?
Free.
Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor,
neighbor,
I'm free.
I'm free.
So are you.
So are you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And now that I've been free, now that I've been free, now that I've been free, guess what the Lord has gave me? And now that we got the keys, it's left up to us to go and free some.
Yeah, that's right.
Are you understanding what I'm saying? The Lord gave you the keys so that you can what? Free somebody else.
Yeah.
I know why I'm
here.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know why I'm
free? Hallelujah.
Because I've been free.
Yeah,
free. Because I'm blessed. Because the Father revealed the Son to me. And it is my responsibility to take that which I received and share it with
somebody.
You see, my brothers and my sisters, that's when you understand the value of who you are. When you understand the value of who you are, then you understand the value of who gave it to you, why it was given to you, and what you're supposed to do with it. And since the Lord has brought us a mighty long way, we got to go and take it and share it with who?
Somebody.
If you know what the Lord has done for you, you better tell what? Somebody. Now, let me take you back. Let me share this with you. You know, when I first gave my life to Christ in my mid-20s. Because, you know, I went to church, but I didn't grow up in the church.
All
right. I went when they made me go. Amen. Wasn't trying to get nothing out of it. Yeah. And in my mid-20s, when I gave my life to Christ, and I joined St. Paul's Baptist Church in Montclair, New Jersey, and we had a gospel choir that I became a part of, singing the tenor section like Chester. They would get on me and tell me I sing too loud. Because I did sing opera when I was in high school, so I was, you know, I know how to project. So I was loud. But one of the things that got me is the choir was 75 strong, at least 75. Might have been a few more, but the choir was huge. And we were always getting invited to choir anniversaries. And whenever we went, we was always seemed to be the choir that marched everybody in. And the song we marched in on, we've come this far.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, you heard the words, right?
Yeah.
But while we were, right, the first time we rehearsed it at the church, right? We're singing the song, we're walking like this. We come this far, but Rodney, who was our choir director, stopped and said, wait a minute. Y'all better stop and regroup. He said, because of the fact that your actions is not consistent with the words that you are saying. So if you're going to sing, we've come this far by faith, but you're walking like your feet hurt and that you really don't want to move, then maybe you will need to not sing in the choir. Because we serve a God who has blessed us, who has brought us a mighty long way. Now, the next time we rehearse that song, guess what? We've come this far. Y'all see how I'm walking, right? You gotta walk like you believe what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because if you ain't believing what you're talking about, then you might as well go on and what? Sit down.
That's right. Leave it alone.
You see, because I know why
I'm here.
You see, Broad Rock, God wants us to understand something. We need to know why we're here.
Yes, sir.
You know why? Because God has plans for us.
Yeah.
But in order for those plans to come into fruition, we can't wait till the new building come and start thanking and praising God.
Amen.
Because if you got to wait till you get the building ain't going to ever get here.
Right.
if we can't do and worship God the way we ought to right now, then don't expect nothing to change.
That's right.
But if we are willing to truly praise God and thank God and be about our Father's business and know why I'm here. I'm here to make a difference. I'm here to help folk. I'm here to proclaim the gospel. I'm here to encourage people. I'm here to let folk know there is a better way. I'm here to help those who are lost so that they can be found. I'm here to help the discouraged to become encouraged. I'm here to take the weak and let them know they can be strong. When you understand that you have a responsibility and we go out and do it now, I want you to know that even before we get in that building, it already be full.
Oh, yeah.
Why? Because I know why I'm here.
Yes,
but it all starts with who brought me here. God. God blessed me, revealed his son to me. And once he did that, there you go.
Thank you, Jesus.
Deacon L, would you remember that first time you asked your daddy, can I drive the car? But the one thing that excited you was that one time you asked him and he did it like this. And before you knew it, you was out the door. Going to pick up Sister Rosa. Are you understanding what I'm saying, y'all?
Yes, sir.
Every child of God, we have the
peace.
Amen.
Yes.
Who are you going to help?
All right.
That's right.
Who are you going to encourage?
All right.
Who are you going to bless?
You see.
Because if you just have the keys to keep in your pocket for your own personal usage,
go out.
Ain't nothing changed.
All right. Mm-hmm.
If we want to continue to see change happen in Broad Rock,
mm-hmm.
you better use them keys to help some other folk
mm-hmm.
get in.
Because
it's not about just you.
Yeah, that's
God
right.
bless you. It's about the God whom we serve.
Amen.
I know why